Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for the first day after the beginning of Advent in December, December 4th. It's the 4th.
You're back on your game.
Yes. It's a mark of my humanity. Today we thought we would talk about Matt Lauer. I don't know, all the continued devolution of our society, and yeah. I went viral this week, so I just want to do a little shout out to myself. I wrote a post that got a lot of hits, so that was fantastic.
Well, I like the way you dealt with the issue in the post, because you know, a lot of, it's very interesting when you're reading Christian responses to Matt Lauer and other stuff like this. It's all about how the moral fiber of our country has disintegrated, and I mean, that's true. But a lot of it was virtue signaling. It seemed like, well,
let's
stop doing this, right? And you preach the gospel, which is good. You said, hey, look, these men
have sinned.
right. So there's a remedy for that in the gospel. you can confess that and be forgiven. But you were right, though, that you can't, in our culture, there are certain sins that when you do them, you're done. There's no going to Oprah, there's no hey, I went to rehab, so I'm out and I'm better now.
Well, they're trying. I hear that certain people are trying the rehab option, but nobody's really believing it anymore. I mean, Harvey Weinstein went to rehab for a week and proclaimed himself well. But fortunately, I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, yeah, well, that's great then.
But that was the old model, wasn't it? I mean, you would go...
You go to rehab.
Yeah, you get a drunk driving charge, or you get caught with, cheating on your wife or whatever.
Then you get caught being racist. Well, no, there's no help for the person who's racist either.
Right, now that's also...
There's no rehab for
that. You're done.
Yeah, so our whole societal structure doesn't have a way to... Our cultural realm doesn't have any way to deal with moral failings.
Well, it does for some. I mean, because the whole tolerance movement is, well, there are no moral failings.
But that... I mean, that's blown wide open. Right. That's what's so amazing about this, is that we've been told for decades that you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You can have whatever kind of sex you want, and mm-hmm. it's totally fine.
Right.
Come to find out,
right.
Oh, here's our truck. It's wonderful. Timed it perfectly.
Well, right.
You know what? There are consequences. For acting out sexually in perversive and destructive ways.
Right.
Like putting a button under your desk so you can...
Well, that's for security, apparently.
NBC
said it was because, you know, if someone came into the building with a weapon, all of their high-paid executives are able to press a button under their desk and...
Were all of them, did they all have it? Or was it really, they all had the button?
You would think if you were maybe a worker called to install an under the desk
button. I mean, that would be such a good moment to say, that's what I saw, somebody said, you know, when you're that guy and you're called in to put a button, call the police, man. Report the fact that somebody wanted you to install this button.
It's like, installing an underground dungeon in your house. You
know? Yeah. the worker needs to be like, why do you have all these cages? And these big, horrible contraptions. Yeah. That's just a, you know.
This looks like a torture chamber.
That's just my advice. But, you know, if you're a contractor, you do you. Like Matt Lauer. I'm sorry, I had a really hard time getting over the button thing. I mean, I know that I think it's best for society when people repent and become Christian.
Right.
I have a utilitarian view in mind, I think it's better for everybody if you repent of your sins in dust and ashes, and you humble yourself before God, and you admit that deviant sex is sinful. That's better for me when I get into an elevator, if all the men are repentant Christians. I mean, it's not perfect, as we know. There are some Christians who I would not want to get into an elevator with, but I would maybe quibble about their Christianity.
Right. But in the 70s, if you've never heard of Benny Hill, go Google Benny Hill and watch some of his shows. He was a British comedian, and the whole point of his comedy is about men grabbing women and so women funny. Running away from it. It was fun. That was the flavor of the culture in those days, and of Western culture in those days. It's funny. It's fun. It's men just being men and women just being women, and isn't it fun?
Al Franken.
right.
It's funny. It's a joke.
Yeah. And with Austin Powers is the same. I mean, the comedy of Austin Powers was kind of built on that attitude. That was pervasive in the
70s. Well, it has been pervasive until yesterday. This was funny. This was allowable joking until what yesterday. Happened? Well, I took the liberty of asking somebody who knows more than me, and this person said, and apparently you can find this out online if you Google it, that many, many women in this culture, when President Trump was elected, looked at his endearing red face and windswept hair and said, "There's literally nothing good for me anymore. Screw it. I'm not going to take it. I'm just not going to take it anymore. Like, I'm going to, you know, I have nothing to lose." Trump being elected is a sort of...
What?
You know, if Hillary... Doesn't make any sense. If Hillary had been elected, all these women would not have come forward.
It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. How's that... How's
Trump's Well, okay, election? It did make sense to me when I read the article, but I've expressed it badly, so it's partly my fault.
What's wrong with...
Well, because
it didn't trip it off when Bill Clinton was elected.
No, that's true.
So it's an ugly man being elected.
No, because all these women came forward and weren't believed in the election time leading up to the... lots and lots of women came forward and said that they'd been treated badly, which is impossible to believe. I mean, I saw all of them and thought, they're all lying.
The Bill Clinton accusers?
No, the Trump accusers. I thought, there's no way that this upright and godly man has ever behaved badly with a woman. And all of his marriages, that was, you know, the vision of godliness. But they weren't countenanced in that. And I do think he got in the White House, and I think there's this kind of moment where women said, I don't have anything to lose. I've never been believed. I'm going to say it. Well, okay, because...
What are you talking about?
Like, my job, nobody's...
Why didn't they sit with Clinton?
Well, no, exactly. They didn't, though, because the whole culture didn't believe them, or they did, but they didn't care.
Why is...
That's the thing that's happened.
They didn't care with Trump either.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So what's the difference?
But now he's in the White House.
Well, Bill Clinton's in the White House.
Oh, my gosh. Don't be obtuse.
I'm really not understanding what makes this different than any other cultural moment of shame. When Bill Clinton was in the White House molesting an underage...
Don't put me on the spot here. You're like interrogating me like I understand this culture. And believe me, I find this very incredible.
I just don't understand how Trump... I'm not a Trump fan at all, but I don't understand how Trump is the deciding factor in...
I don't think it's the deciding factor. I think it's just that he was finally elected, and a lot of women thought, this culture isn't for me. And this country isn't for me, and it doesn't matter anymore. And
I just think that's the height of hypocrisy after electing, after supporting vocally
guys like Bill Clinton. You know what, Matt? A lot of women didn't really vote for Hillary because of the, because, I mean, I've read a long thing by Susan Sarandon or about her. She voted third party. I know that, I mean, we have to see that Hillary didn't win. Really, she didn't win. And it's largely because she, I think, was utterly complicit in her husband's stuff. And there were smart women out there who noticed that.
I hope so. That's
and right. There were, but what was the choice? A person who's who's been accused of everything, mm-hmm. or the wife of the person who we know did stuff.
Right.
There's no good choice.
Right.
And I think that's the sense that women who have been, who have endured it in the workplace, and was Matt Lauer and Harvey Weinstein, finally said, "I've been told I have to be quiet and that nobody will ever believe me, but I don't care. I'm finally gonna press charges. I'm not gonna, you know, there's no good options, and I'm tired of living it this way." And for the first time, everybody started to say, well, maybe every time a woman accuses a man of sexual immorality, she's not lying. Maybe he's the jerk that we can all see that he is. Mm. I don't know. It's like a tidal wave.
Yeah.
The whole ship just turning around in the middle of the ocean and driving back towards the coastline. It's amazing.
No, I do. I see that. That makes sense. Well, it also seems like the tidal wave is catching some people who should not be caught up in it. I mean, Garrison Keillor touching a woman's back.
Okay, but everything I've read says that might not be all that it is. Okay. They wouldn't fire him so swiftly for touching that. Like, that's the one that's been reported, but
do you think there's more?
The people who know Minnesota have said on various blogs that it's not a surprise, and that that's not okay. All there is.
So there is, I mean, it does seem like though that there's, I mean, I think that the people who have done these things are, it's right for them to be fired, it's right for them to be sent down and rest from their
labors.
Right. But it's also right. I mean, it's, what you said, your blog is good. That is right, too. That this is the moment for the gospel. This is the moment those people, Weinstein, Lauer, all these people need to hear about Jesus and know they can be forgiven, because the culture's not telling them that.
They should feel the shame.
Sure.
And they...
Well, that's the only way you can come
to the gospel. Yeah, and they should be... And I don't... You know, the morning after, they're all rushing out to see their lawyers. But maybe if they don't come back into the limelight and they're left alone in their newfound poverty, they might experience despair. And right. At that moment, a Christian should go to them and say, there's hope for you.
Right.
You know, there, any man who has really hurt somebody, you're not beyond the gospel, you know?
You're not a convert, so I don't know if you've ever felt the kind of deep shame of conviction that drives you to the cross.
No, but I have.
Right. Maybe, okay.
I mean, I haven't done things really, like I haven't committed murder, mm-hmm. and I've led a morally good life from that. But I know,
right. But you've
that
always
I've,
had in the back of your head, oh, there's the cross. There's the gospel. But I haven't. So, you know, when I first came face to face with my sin, and in the depth of it, and who I am, really, without knowledge at that time of the gospel, there was nothing. It was just an utter despair, mm-hmm. you know. And then you hear the gospel, and it's suddenly there's something. Not something, there's this great opportunity to live again and be forgiven. And it's indescribable if you've never gone. That's why I think converts have a lot of zeal and passion, because they were at the depths. And so I think you have to be brought to this point, this place of shame, losing everything, not having any options, to really hear the gospel. So it is a time for the gospel for these guys.
And it would be for the victim as well.
Right.
I mean, the woman, I can't imagine. Okay, I stress easily, I stress easily, and I'm filled with my overriding concern is always how can I make people like me. If you put me in a workplace, a toxic work environment, where a guy was always making jokes, even, or I thought I was going to be put in a position of being slapped on the derriere, I would be so stressed. Day after day after day, I would be so stressed. And I don't know that I would know how to say anything. I'm not good at
confrontation
anyway. Okay, and then you take it a step farther and find that you're actually being, your body integrity is being invaded by some jerk. I can't imagine going on in a workplace like that. I think that, and how does the woman who's endured that get up day after day?
Who really wants the job, who really desires the position.
Yeah, she needs Jesus for healing, because ultimately she's going to have to forgive the guy. I was thinking of a word that wasn't a swear word. In order for her to go on, she's going to have to not forgive him. Maybe like, I
totally trust you. Let's go
out.
Yeah,
but to let him off the hook, to let him go, let go of it as a thing that's a burden that she's legitimately carrying around. Right. Her life is ruined.
Right, because forgiveness doesn't mean Matt Lauer gets his job back. There's no
ongoing. But the only way, like, she can't do the. It's a real horrible. The only way she can do that is with the healing mercy of Christ, day after day, in her life. Therapy isn't going to ultimately do it. It can help, surely it can help, but she needs Jesus. And yet that's not on the table. That's not one of the options out there for people who are caught in this. It's terrible. It's so bleak. It looks, because you have this amazing moment of cultural insight where we say, you know what? This is bad. This is wrong. This is hurtful. We shouldn't do that. But then there's nothing that comes next to it to.
Well, there's bare morality. I mean, you can go back to let's have marriage being the venue for sexuality and not the workplace.
Well, yes.
I mean, secularists who are saying things like that now. Who are saying, what about prudence and chastity and.
Under what? I was a Stephen Colbert. Yeah. What would appropriate sexual contact in an office look like? Huh. Yeah, inappropriate. Yeah, don't do that. Don't go to work and do that.
Now, I do think, that brings up an interesting thing. I do think there's a pursuit that men engage in when they're attracted to a woman that's not sinful. But I think we're coming close to endangering pursuit as a legitimate thing in male-female relationships, which I don't think is necessary.
And why would we confuse that? Because every day a man can
flirting.
Well, no, he can go. I think there's such legitimate confusion in men's minds about what's appropriate. You go to work, you're with women all day long. You go home, you log online, and there's women. You were with them in the office, but now they're on your screen and they're naked. They want you. Mm-hmm. They think you're awesome. And you are encompassed within yourself with everything that you need. There's no need for the actual. Then you go back to the office in the morning.
So, of course, these women are the same way.
And you think it's. You think, you know what would be awesome? If this woman saw me in all of my glory, I'm just gonna, because that's gonna.
That's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. Where does that. How come we suddenly have this rash of men who think it's okay to remove articles of clothing in front of women during the workday? I think that's a porn out consequence.
Right.
You just have lots of men where they see it on the screen at night, and then they go to work, and they haven't sort of sorted it all into the boxes which they're supposed to have.
Right.
Because that box is open all the time.
The sex box.
The sex box never closes.
Right. In the mind. Right.
Right. So, you I think you get confused.
Right.
You know?
I also think that the men and women are different, and so I think men sometimes think that women are attracted to the same kinds of things that men are, so most men would be happy for a woman to take off her clothes in front of single men. I wouldn't be, but single men and would be thinking, oh, this
I do
is great.
I do think we should have a caveat. Everything that we're talking about, we remove ourselves right. Just category. When we say we really don't mean, like, I'm not talking right. about myself
right
today.
So like all these, so I think men, and so they just assume, oh well, I mean, if I would like that, then I'm sure this my female colleague here would also appreciate this. So here it goes. It's a total misunderstanding of women, and that comes from an opportunity that the culture has given us to do those kinds of things. I mean, before there was a basic level of chivalry which would require you not to do that, but now that we've done away with all with the sense that women and men are different. We've done away with chivalry. We've done away with sexual morality. So now it's just about, well, I've got to, you know, I'm turned on by this, so maybe this will turn her on too. Let's do this. And a complete lack of understanding of the opposite sex feeds into that.
Yeah, and so, of course, the idea that you could look at another person and think, she's so beautiful, I'd like to be with her, and how can I do that? Oh, okay, well, I'm going to need to marry her
how can I
be
marry
with
her would be the old question,
forever
right?
and never touch any other person but her, but I'm gonna have to, in order to be with her, I'm gonna have to behave in certain kinds of ways that would draw her attention to me.
Yeah.
Again, not with the removal of clothing during the work day.
Maybe
but
I'll say something nice to
maybe
her.
Maybe I'll say
invite her to coffee.
Yes. In which we both remain clothed. Right. For many times and seasons and times and a half, we remain clothed. Then we get married. And it's only after that moment that there's any removal of clothing.
And even then, not in weird ways.
Not in weird ways. So, yeah, no, there's no, you can't have pursuit. But I feel like that's a question we've
lost how to do that.
I mean, we need to go back and do some other things before we worry about how can men and women hook up.
That wasn't the question, but how can you legitimately pursue someone of the opposite sex? Because men are supposed to be the aggressors there,
yeah.
or the assertive ones in there, in that, and if you, but if you, you know.
Yeah, no, a man is ruined for everybody.
Right.
This has ruined it for everybody.
We've lost the concept of courtly love.
Yes.
There is no such thing as courtly love anymore in our society.
I don't think so.
No, King Arthur, Guinevere, no. Although Lancelot.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
Are you saying that Arthurian legends don't provide a good moral way forward?
Maybe not.
You know, maybe the Bible would be a really great place to start. But, you know, men have to be able to get out of the... That's another thing. I think it's good for society when men become Christian, because there's every... 99.9% of men in our culture have a really bad porn problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't marriageable. They're not equipped for marriage. They need the forgiveness of Jesus. They need to be healed from that. They need to let go of that. They need to get out of that. That needs to be let go of. And then real women need to be considered in all of their facets and, you know, by real men. So, but that you need the gospel for that. You can't just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and climb out of this without grace and mercy of Jesus. You have to work really, really, really hard. I think men really desperately need the gospel.
One of the most important things that I, as a young man, when I was climbing out of the darkness of porn and all that kind of stuff, as a Christian, was the whole idea of loving your neighbor, and then beginning to see women as my neighbors. I don't think I ever intentionally dehumanize them in my mind, but oh wow, this is someone I need to go to show agape to, and even watching someone I don't know on a online or whatever doing these things is dehumanizing to her, and I'm participating in this thing that is destroying women. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't do that. It's enough. So the gospel really could begin to pervade every aspect mm-hmm. of my thought about sex, and I think that will happen for most men.
if they can be forgiven
right.
by Jesus,
yeah. forgiveness
and they repent, they're forgiven, they get to start over every day, they get to like wake up and try again day after day in yeah. the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Counseling, I'm not knocking counseling, but I don't think it's enough on its own. It's just yeah. a huge tidal wave of cultural blackness that
yeah.
So I was going to write an incendiary post, but there's been a lot of discussion about the Pence rule, and you know, men shouldn't have dinners with women mm-hmm. alone because they could be accused of sexual immorality, and there's been some really good conversations about that, and I'm not a huge fan of the Pence rule, because I, you know, I'm not a fan of having rules. I'm not a fan of making laws where you should just use your mind. You know, you should think biblically, you should reason through the text, you should, and we Christians right. like to make rules. I'll just never do this, and then that way I'll never get in trouble. Okay, but
I don't touch the tree, I won't have the fruit.
Yes, if I don't have, so. But I was thinking, it'd be really great in this new rave era is that women should have the rule right now. It's not that the men need to be worried about being accused of sexual immorality. As a woman, I would be maybe willing to say I'm not going to go
into this office
out with a man or go into this office or this elevator, or I'm right. not going to be alone with a man ever again who's not my husband. Because it's not going to yeah. go well for me.
But you know, you're surrounded by Christian men. You're surrounded
no,
by men
I know. If I was in an office,
right,
yeah.
right, right.
I don't feel like I need this rule in my life right
so
now.
So I find it interesting that no one bagged on the Billy Graham rule. It's only when it became the Pence rule that everyone, even Christian women, said that's not fair. That's not right. No one was complaining. Your group of Christian friend women. We're not complaining when it was called the Billy Graham rule.
You don't know that.
But when it became the Pence rule,
no, that's you don't know
when
that they
it's,
were.
Oh, it's Pence.
No.
Yeah, he's a horrible man because he's a conservative. And we want to show how much we are relevant
that
to the culture.
That is not how it played out.
How feminist we are.
You
so,
didn't read any article about it.
I just noticed the hypocrisy behind it.
No.
So, because if it's Billy Graham, so cuddly and wonderful, mm-hmm. and it's okay with Billy Graham. But with
he's
Pence,
not cuddly. That's the point. He's not cuddly. He is
no,
not
he's
cuddling.
Grandpa. He's the grandpa of the evangelical
but
movement.
But he wasn't when he was a young man.
Right. Okay. But
was traveling around the world, and
right.
and he did need to avoid every
as does Pence. As does Pence. Right. It's not. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I don't follow it because I don't know why I don't follow it, but I just haven't had the. I haven't had this. It'd be a weird thing to introduce. And the women in The Good Shepherd are Christian women. I just don't think it's.
Well, your job requires you to meet with people.
Counseling.
In an office with a big window in
yeah.
it. And that's part of your. It's really not appropriate for you to have hangers on for some of your
right.
meetings with
right.
people.
Right, right, right. But so I don't. Think it's necessary for all men, but
I don't think it's necessary for all workplace issues. You know, I think that you can have a meeting with a colleague alone, you know, that needs to, but I might look jaundicedly at a man who says I'm never gonna meet with a woman who's or go out, you know, meet with a woman who's not my wife. I might think, whatever, man. You don't need to worry about that. She's not going to assault you. But the woman who said, I'm never going to go to a meeting with a man who's not my husband, mm-hmm. I would say, you know what? That's a good idea. Because you never know
you
what
never
this
know.
Guy might do to you. He might hit the button under his desk. He might just let fall his
trousers.
Trousers. So, you know, I think that's smart. Take some people with you when you're meeting with a guy and don't let them leave. Yeah. I don't know what that would be called. Like, it's not the Pence rule, because it's who... we need, like, a famous woman's name.
Well, but that's like chaperoning, right? That's what was the old way.
As protection for myself, so that I won't be assaulted by this jerk.
In the olden days, old-timey days. That women wouldn't go unattended with...
They weren't in the workplace, though.
Right, but anywhere. They wouldn't... I mean, a young woman, unmarried woman, would not go unattended.
And it wasn't so that... the man would be accused of sexual immorality. Well, so that he...
It was for her reputation's sake, right?
Yeah.
And so there was another witness there to assure that her virtue was always undiminished, or even reputation-wise. I mean, I think historically it would be inappropriate for a man and a woman to be alone, an unmarried man and an unmarried woman to be alone somewhere in private. That would be... An tongues opposite. Would wag. Huh?
Whose tongues?
Well, just kidding. And that was inappropriate. You should...
It's horrible out there.
Right, right. Yeah, so I think we've solved this problem. It's the gospel. Everyone needs the gospel.
Yeah, well, it's I'm thinking pragmatically, really, in terms of the gospel. I think it's really good for lots and lots, if more and more and more people felt the level of their sinfulness and threw themselves on God's mercy, that would really be good in a pragmatic way for my ability to walk down the street unmolested. You know, not that it's foolproof, because we just spent the morning reading a pseudo-Christian blog.
It's horrible.
With a man whose sexual vision is so broken, I can't even imagine. And it's supposedly under the category of biblical gender roles. So the church is confused, you know.
This man was saying that if your wife won't assent to be with you sexually, that it's a disciplinary issue in your marriage. That
you discipline her.
You must rebuke her and, you know, stop paying for her, you know, shopping trips, stop taking her out, stop giving her any affection at all. It was sick. I mean, that's the opposite thing you would want to do. And it's also just, it puts sex in the category of duty and...
Even beyond that.
Beyond,
I mean,
it
like,
is a kind of duty, I guess.
I know, but doesn't need to be talked about that way.
That's
not helpful.
Right, right, right. It was really sick.
But, I mean, the church... Okay, I mean, I don't think we can go much farther with the fact that... The church, there's a lot of people, I don't know when the Roy Moore election is, but there's a lot of Christians who are going to vote for Roy Moore because he's pro-life.
Well, I this is why I can't, I've given up even being interested in politics now.
Yeah.
Because both sides are so compromised. And the idea that you just swallow all of the criticisms we've made over the years of Bill Clinton... You just swallow that because, well, it's our guy now.
Because of abortion.
Right. Well, look, I think abortion's a horrible thing. I mean, but I'm sorry, we can't. The Christians who are, I'm not talking about the people who vote for the lesser of two evils with holding their nose. I get that. I understand why people voted for Trump for that reason. I understand why people might vote for Roy Moore for that reason. I'm talking about the gung ho. Zealous, this is God's man, God's way. God, I mean, the Christians who are just so on board with Roy Moore and Trump that they're willing to swallow the very same arguments, or silence the very same arguments we made against Bill Clinton. That character matters. That morality is important. That someone who abuses a woman or who's touched a woman inappropriately is not fit for the presidency or high office. Nope. Not anymore. Because Trump, or because Roy Moore, or because It's us now.
But I mean, I think America, there's a
deep... The civil religion has begun to
there's
corrupt
a us. Deep, there's a deep... the church has a broken vision of human sexuality. You know, I assume this is the church in a bigger sense. I don't think individual churches probably have, you know, rat's nests of horror going on, but there are I've read over the last many months there are a lot of women who have been encouraged to stay in really abusive relationships by pastors who think that, you know, well, it's just godly for her to endure, and okay, she's being beat up or being raped daily in her marriage, and that's fine because of Jesus, you know, she just needs to die for the gospel. And I mean, there's a lot of weirdness in the, on the landscape. Yeah. I was thinking that the Vision Forum guy who had all this, you know, biblical manhood, biblical womanhood, all the, and then he was found to be committing adultery.
He moved his mistress, 17-year-old mistress, into his house.
And I didn't really hear a big hue and cry. I mean, I read about it on a lot of blogs, but the church...
There was a big hue and cry. People were,
was there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. The church needs to really embrace the gospel. But, you know, that men who have sinned in the church, men in the church who are pornography addicted, need the gospel. You know, it should start there, and then it should move out from there. The evangelicalism needs a huge dose of real gospel.
Not moral deism.
Not moral deism, confusion, mixed with politics.
Right. Right.
And I don't know how to get that right now. I don't think that's on the horizon. I think we're all doomed. Well, anyway, it's fine because North Korea is going to bomb us or whatever, nuclearize us.
Yeah, I read that.
So that's great. So now, but it was the same day as the Matt Lauer thing, so...
Well, who cares about that? That's just completely unimportant.
I didn't want to read about Kim Jong-un and the button under Matt Lauer's desk on the same day. I didn't have... bandwidth for those two things. So,
speaking of inappropriate longings, I've noticed that Prince Henry is now engaged, and you were.
I thought it was clear that I was being funny because the whole post was fun. It was sarcastic, assumed that when I used the word beautiful repeatedly, you would see that it was a sarcastic use. He looks like Nickabrick in.
Yeah, okay, that's all right.
What do you think of her? Do you think she's beautiful?
I don't notice other women.
Yeah. Well, I don't notice other men, so we're good then. I'm sorry, but Prince Harry is not that beautiful. I thought that was clear.
I think you're protesting too much here.
Okay. All right.
So, anyway, we're probably...
Yeah, we should stop while we're ahead. And I'm sure we'll be back next week for... the second week of Advent, I was going to berate all of our listener for not celebrating Advent. I mean, I don't even know, but this was more pressing. So maybe next week we'll do another Advent guilt.
You don't celebrate Advent.
You observe it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't celebrate, observe it.
Advent is my least favorite season.
I love it so much.
I can't stand it. I want it to be Christmas. I want to put a Christmas tree up.
No.
I want to put the lights up.
No.
We already have some lights.
No.
I want to listen to Andy Williams singing about Christmas in the heart.
No. That song was so terrible. I can't.
I'm surprised you hadn't heard of Andy Williams.
No, I don't. I haven't heard.
He's a famous guy.
That means little to me.
I guess because you're from...
I'm not from here.
You're from those strange parts out there.
So, yeah, I'm not... No. No, no Christmas until Christmas Eve for you. So, well, anyway, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening.